Hallelujah. You guys could go ahead and take your seats. I just feel so awesome. It feels awesome. And I feel honored and privileged. I would have never thought in a million years that I would be serving God, let alone preaching the gospel. I believe I'm a part of one of the best ministries within Victory Outreach, the Urban Training Center. Amen. I would have never thought that I would be traveling. When I got saved, I just wanted to get sober, and I wanted my family and my mother to love me, and that's about it. I didn't think about being a leader. I didn't think about being a preacher. I was just trying to get sober in the recovery, in the Victory Homes. Amen. And, you know, God uses me right now in this time, you know, to disciple and train a generation. He also used me to, you know, to pull in and reach young people. But also, God uses me to bring hope to the praying mother, to the praying father. How many praying mothers and praying fathers are out there that are praying for sons, that are praying for daughters? Amen. I was raised in the church. Amen. Victory Outreach. My mom raised me up in a godly home. But at the age of 13 or 14, I don't remember, it was pretty young, my mom, she said, I'm going to release you to God. Because I didn't like going to church. I always used to bug her. I don't want to go to church as a young man, young boy, you know. And then finally she's like, you know what? You're not mine, you're God's. I'm going to give you to God. So I was born and raised, I'm from Victory Outreach Reno, but I was born and raised in San Bernardino, gang infested area. Right there, I got involved in drugs, alcohol. I started smoking crack at a young age. I think I was like 13, already addicted to coke in high school, I think ninth grade. And, you know, she kept her faith. She kept her hope. And I remember one time really vividly, really clear, one of my friends got killed, and I happened to be in the car with him. And everybody in the car got shot except me by the grace of God. You know, nothing happened to me. And I remember the next day I had a lot of my friends over. We were drinking and partying right there. You know, another reason to get high and get drunk. And she came home from work and she looked at me and she said, Gilbert, aren't you tired of running from God? She said, aren't you tired of running from your calling? She said, one day you're going to be a man of God. And I looked at her. I said, woman, you're crazy. I said, I'm going to go to prison like the rest of my friends. I'm going to die like the rest of my friends. Because at the time, a lot of my friends were getting killed, going to prison. I think I was 18 or 19 years old. And, you know, a waste of life, you know, waste of giftings and talents, whatever God had for them. But I told her, I'm going to die like everybody else, go to prison. And she looked at me and she said, I rebuke you, Satan. And I looked at her. I said, I was all drunk. And I said, woman, I ain't the devil. Are you crazy? And I said, she said, God gave me a promise when you were in my womb. That one day that you were going to be a preacher. That one day that you were going to be a pastor. That one day you were going to serve not in any ministry, but in Victory Outreach Ministry. I'm here to let you know, mother, father, if you're praying for your son, if you're praying for your daughter, I'm here to let you know the Bible describes that he's not a man that shall lie, a son of man that shall repent of God spoken to your life. Best believe we could take his promise and take it to the bank. She didn't just pray for me for 1 week. She didn't just pray for me for 1 month or 1 year. She prayed and kept that promise from God for 22 long years. Of God said that one day your husband's going to come to Christ. One day that your wife, one day your cousin, one day your uncle, one day your... Best believe that you could count on God's word, that you could count on God's promise for our lives. I'm a product of the ranch. I'm a product of the gang. I'm a product of the Urban Training Center. I'm a product of Victory Outreach International. But most importantly, I'm a part of God's grace and His mercy. Not only His changing power, but His keeping power upon our lives. And I'm so grateful, grateful to be a part of this ministry. You don't understand how grateful that I am, man. That I should be dead. I shouldn't be here this evening. I should be somewhere else. I should be my mind lost somewhere else. I should be in prison. I should be in a jail cell. I should be dead. But instead, somebody in this church of you should have been somewhere else. But instead, you're in the house. Instead, I'm in my right mind. Instead, I'm serving God. Instead, I have my dignity. Instead, I'm a staff in the urban trainings. See, we gotta get crazy and praise God, because I know a lot of us should be somewhere else, my friend. We should be somewhere else, but instead, we're in Victory Outreach Albuquerque. What a purpose, what a calling, and what a great future upon our lives. I thank God for our founders, Pastor Sonny and Sister Julie. I thank God for our founders for answering the call in 1967 to reach a drug addict ministry. Come on, somebody. Maybe some of us might be thinking, well, Brother Gil, I'm not a drug addict. I never smoked weed, never got high. But God saved your family. Whoever God saved and brought you to the church, I thank God for the ministries of Victory Outreach, our founders. I thank God for my directors, Pastor Joey and Sister Arcadia. I get to serve along the best directors in the Urban Training Center right now, a part of the greatest team in the... Come on, somebody. And I thank God for my sending pastors, Pastor Pepe and Sister Sylvia, for believing in me. For believing me and releasing me. And also thank you, Pastor Danny and Sister Barbara, for this awesome privilege. Pastor Pat, everybody, all the ministers, the leadership here, for believing in our generation. Amen. This evening I'm going to be real brief. I'm not going to be too long. I just have 2 points. I believe with all my heart that the enemy, the devil, did you know that you have an enemy? That the enemy wants you and I to make many decisions. But I'm just going to focus on 2 decisions this evening. The decision to refuse and the decision to hold back. Let's pray. Lord Heavenly Father, we come before you right now. God, we thank you, God, for your grace and your mercy. We can feel your presence, God, your anointing in this place, God. I pray that you open the hearts of every man, every woman, every teenager in this place, God. I pray that you challenge, change, and bring conviction to our hearts, God. I pray this is not just an ordinary service, God, but I pray that we leave, God, challenged with a calling and a purpose upon our life, God. In the name of Jesus, remove me to the side, God. And I pray that you step in and speak to your people this evening, God. In the name of Jesus, and everybody says, if you have your Bibles, you could go ahead and turn to the book of Jeremiah 48:10. Amen. Are we there? Right here, the word of God reads. It says, curse are those who refuse. Somebody say, not me. Curse are those who refuse to do the Lord's work, who hold back their sword from shedding blood. Right here, the Webster's dictionary describes that refuse. The meaning, it means to say that you will not accept something such as a gift or an offer. See, the enemy wants you and I to refuse the gift that is upon our life. The enemy wants you and I to refuse the gift that God has prepared for us. The enemy wants you and I to refuse an offer such as salvation, an offer such as answering the call of God, an offer such as getting involved in ministry. See, the enemy wants you and I to refuse, my friend. Maybe some of us might be thinking, man, I already accepted Jesus Christ into my life. Yeah, that's one calling that we answer. I don't know if you know, but there are many callings that we have to answer upon our lives. We can't just say, Pastor, leader, leave me alone. I already accepted Jesus Christ in my life. I come every Wednesday. I come every street evangelism. I come to every prayer meeting. I come every Sunday morning. Look at my tithing report. I'm a giver. Look at it. I already answered the call. That is just one calling upon our life. See, also the enemy wants you and I to refuse the call of ministry. See, I didn't just answer one call. Yeah, I accepted Jesus Christ in my life. But I answered the call to go into the victory homes. I answered the call to run a life group. I answered the call to be an evangelism leader. I answered the call to be a gang leader. I answered the call to be a student at the West Coast Urban Training Center. I answered the call to be a staff. See, our calling revolves Victory Outreach Albuquerque. We don't just answer the call once, my friend, but the enemy wants to lie to our church and say we just got to answer it once. No, God has our calling evolves. I could have said, no, I don't want to be a staff. I'm called to be a pastor. I don't want to answer the call to be an evangelism leader. I'm called to take a city. See, the enemy wants you and I to say no. The enemy wants you and I to refuse, my friend. I don't know about you, but every time a ministry or an opportunity came my way, that's all I was taught, that's all I was preached, that is all I was discipled, to say yes to the answer of the call of God, my friend. I'm here to let you know, every time your leader, your pastor, come on somebody. Anytime our pastors and leaders ask us to do something, we got to say yes. See, ministry is an overflow of our relationship with God. I do ministry, we do ministry, because it's an overflow. Because we say, yes, God, you did so much. You rescued me from hell. You rescued me from drug addiction. You, come on, somebody. God, how can I not serve you? See, the enemy wants you and I to refuse. Right there, I'm going to back up. The scripture says, cursed are those that who refuse to do the work of the Lord. I'm preaching. When God gave me this message, I was in a valley of decisions. And God gave me this scripture and God gave me this word. And it says, cursed are those who refuse. I don't believe that we serve a God that is sitting in heaven. I can't wait till he says no. I can't wait till she says no. Soon as they say no, I'm going to put a curse. Got a big tub of water boiling with smoke and potion. All that. No, God is not like that. God doesn't bring curses upon our lives. But the scripture, the word is God. God is, you know, he's going to come through with his word. So if the word says we refuse, that we're going to be cursed. You might be thinking, how are we going to be cursed? Why would a sovereign God, a loving God, curse me and my family for refusing to do ministry? I believe with all my heart that we put that curse upon ourselves. Wondering what if? Wondering what if? What if I would have said yes for salvation? What if I would have said yes to be a men's home director? What if I would have said yes to be a women's home director? What if I would have said yes to ushering ministry? What if I would have said yes to evangelism? What if I would have said yes to greeting? What if I would have said yes to run a gang warrior deal? What if I would have said yes to run a gang girl ministry? What if? I don't know about you, but I don't want to wonder what if the rest of my life. I want to know that I gave my all. I want to know that I said yes. The Bible describes in the book of Acts that David fulfilled his whole purpose in his generation. I want to know when I get to heaven that I open up, when God embraces me, that he says, you fulfilled your whole purpose in your generation. How many people feel like that? I don't want to be that guy that said no. You don't want to be that girl that said no, my friend. When we say yes, my friend, our lives will be blessed. When we say yes, my friend, our families will be blessed. When we say yes to the call of God, God will blow our mind. God will do something that you and I will never. I would have never thought in a million years that I would be doing the things that I'll be doing today. It's only God's grace, my friend. See, God wants to blow our minds if we let him. Come on, somebody. I don't know about you, but I want God to blow my mind. Every single day that I wake up, I say, God, blow my mind. How can you blow my mind today? And he says, just say yes. Just say yes. God gave me many promises in the recovery home. And throughout it's going on 8 years in January that I'd be serving God. God gives us promises in our devotion life. God gives us promises, and God begins to reveal those promises. And I remember in the recovery home, I felt, looking back now, I felt like I was like, man, like God was right there, always speaking to me. Maybe because we're all busy now, you know, traveling, all, you know, ministry life. When you have a full-time job, it's kind of, you know, life, you know. But when you're in the recovery home or in the training center, you're separated. You're there from God. So I remember promises from God like that, just, man, God was just every day in my devotion, every day praying and reading. And I remember certain promises. One time I was my first winter retreat. I went to Pastor Sonny Jr. was preaching, and he told, it was the altar call, and he said, everybody close your eyes. God is going to show you a glimpse of your future. And I was all new. I was like, oh, my God, yes, God, show me. No, but I didn't. And God showed me that I was going to preach at a winter retreat. And then a year or two later after the men's home, I remember I was at an altar call. Evangelist came up to me and whispered in my ear and said, God is going to use your voice to make an impact in men and women's lives around the world. So I thought I was called to be evangelist. I was like, yeah, come on, somebody can be evangelist. I held on to these promises years later. When I said yes to answer the call to be a staff in the Urban Training Center, my first week, guess what happened? My first week, I got to preach in a chapel. I was standing behind chapel, and I seen young men from Africa. I seen young people from Latin America. I seen young women from Europe. I seen young people from all over the world, my friend. I'm here to let you know that God's promises will be fulfilled in your life, my friend. And a few months later that, I got an opportunity to do a little 10-minute of fire at Winter Retreat. Come on, somebody. Why? It's because I said yes. How many people in the body of Christ in Victory Outreach or in different ministries are still waiting for their promises to come to pass? And then they leave church and get mad at the pastors, get mad at the leader. Man, God is a liar. God is not faithful. He told me 10 years ago, 15 years, 10, whatever. He didn't fulfill his promises. See, God wants to fulfill your promise if you say yes. If I would have said yes to my leader that asked me to be a staff in the Urban Training Center, those promises would have never came to pass, my friend. How many people are out there are still waiting for the promises, but they said no to be a director, no to be a staff, no to be a leader, no to get involved, my friend. God's promise is right there if you just say yes. God is not a liar. God is not trying to get your hopes up. God is not like your coworker or your family member or your ex-boyfriend that always lies to you, my friend. God has integrity with his word. God has integrity in his word. So we just got to say yes, and our lives will be blessed, my friend. Come on, somebody. I said yes even when it hurt it. I said yes even when it didn't make sense. It said yes even when I thought my pastor. Come on, somebody. Sometimes we think our leaders are wrong. But no, my friend, I still said yes even when it didn't make sense. I said, God, I'm going to step into the deep and believe that you'll catch me. I guess I was just one of those silly young people that believed everything that my pastor said. I guess I was just one of those silly young people that believed everything that was preached over the pulpit. I guess I was just one of those silly young people that believed every winter retreat, every monument of valor, every world conference, my friend. I guess I'm a fool. Come on, somebody. But every promise has been fulfilled. Sometimes we got to be fools in the things of God. Come on, we're fools in the world. Now we got to step in the word of God and say, God, you are faithful. And I know your word will come to pass. God will fulfill your promise. God will continue to fulfill it. God blows. Man, I thank God. I love God so much that he just blows my mind. Let's give God some praise, amen. Right here, number two, it's to hold back. That word hold back means to hinder the progress or achievement. See, the enemy wants you and I to hold back. The enemy wants to hinder the progress what God is trying to do in our lives. The enemy is trying to hold us back from the success that God has for our lives. We don't serve a God that is a failure. We don't serve a God that loses, my friend. We don't serve a God of decrease, my friend. But we serve a God of victories. We serve a God that wins. I don't know about you, but if you fail because you chose to fail. I don't serve a God that is a failure. We are not a part of a ministry that is a losing ministry. We've been serving God over 50 long years, a part of this ministry, breaking barriers, breaking the mold. Come on, somebody. This year, I got to experience that. Backing up Pastor Joey, our director, the UTC is making history. We got to step into Kansas City, Kansas, and Kansas City, Missouri, where no other UTC has ever stepped foot on. We got to step in Damning and Las Cruces. Come on, somebody. You and I are under the covering of Pastor Sonny and Sister Julie. We can't fail. We can't lose. There's just victorious blood inside of our DNA. We are part of victory. We are part of victory. We are part of victory outreach. Good God. We're not called to be normal. We're not called. We're not just an ordinary church around the block. We're not just your average pastors, leaders. We're not just your average ministry. But we are called to break the mold in our generation. We are called to make history. We are called to do things that nobody's ever heard of. The enemy wants us to hold back our sword from shedding blood. How many, I don't know if you guys know, but every single one of us have a sword. Every single one of us has a weapon that God has given us, whether it's a gift of worship, gift of preaching, gift of teaching, gift of serving others, gift of giving, gift of encouraging, or a gift of leading. Whatever that weapon that God has provided for your life, it is a weapon to advance the kingdom of God. It is a weapon to back up your pastor. It is a weapon to back up your pastor's wife. It is a weapon to back up your leaders. It's a weapon to advance Victory Outreach Albuquerque. But we live in a generation of young men and young women, maybe not here, that just want their nice and shiny sword. They want to keep it in a nice leather case. Oh, broadcast it in the living room. Oh, look at my sword. It's all nice. Come on, somebody. But no, we need our sword nice and dirty and bloody, my friend. We need our sword to be muddy, run through the dirt, run through the grime. Come on, slaying a couple giants, slaying a couple demons. God has called us to war, my friend. The Bible describes that He prepared our hands for war and our fingers for battle. You and I are warriors for the kingdom of God. We're not called to be bench warmers. We're called to get in the game and say, yeah, I got this nice sword and I'm going to use it. See, when we first serve God, yeah, that sword's for us. We're just trying to make it. We're just trying to slay all these demons of lust, of distraction, all these demons that are trying to pull us back in the world. But now, Victory Outreach, we swing our sword for our family. We swing our sword for our kids. We swing our sword for our pastors. We swing our sword for our founders. We swing our sword for our elders and for our leaders, for our city, for this world. Guess what happens when you start swinging? Guess what happens? You start inspiring your neighbor to start swinging too. You start inspiring your family member that thought they would never be in ministry. You would inspire your father that thought they would never serve God. You start swinging, then you inspire your nephews that are addicted to drugs, my friend. When you start swinging, am I in a building full of sword swingers? God has given us a weapon. Why do we just want to sit on it? When we start swinging, we inspire. Maybe, just maybe, if my leader could swing it. Maybe, just maybe, if my pastor could swing it. Maybe, just maybe, if my cousin could swing it. Maybe I can swing it also. God has given us a weapon to swing. Don't be afraid. Don't have a spirit of fear. We can't lose. Just pull it out by faith and just start swinging with your eyes closed. The same God that anointed David to slay the 10,000, my friend, is the same God that will anoint your hands to swing that sword. It's the same God that's, come on. We can't fail. We can't lose. The enemy is already lost. The enemy's already defeated. The only thing is, he's trying to whisper in our ear and say, don't do it. Don't do it. Somebody else will. Don't do it. The pastor will do it. Don't do it. The front row will do it. Don't do it. She will do it. No. We got to get those seeds of doubt, those seeds of insecurity, those seeds to refuse and throw them out of our brain and flood ourselves, our brain, our heart with the word of God. We can't fight the devil on our own strength. We can't fight the devil on our own, come on, our looks, our personality, but we fight the devil with the word of God inside of our heart, my friend. The Bible describes when the Spirit took Jesus up to the mountain. Come on, somebody. Jesus didn't fight the devil with a sword or a weapon or a sling. He said, as it is written. Yeah, we might be good. Oh, drug addicts are good for nothing, but the Bible says that we're more than conquerors. We could do anything if we have God behind our back. As long as you and I are committed to prayer, committed to fasting, committed to separating, as long as you and I are connected to the vine, the Bible says what? That the Lord is the vine and we are the branches. Apart from Him, we can do nothing. We can't do nothing without prayer. We can't do nothing without God. We can't do, come on somebody, we can't be a ministry that tries to do the work of God without the touch of God upon our life. I don't know about you, but I need the touch of God upon everything that I do. We need the power of God to take this city. We need the power of God to back up our pastors. We need the power of God to reach this dying generation. We got to be committed to everything. And God will give us the strength to push all those distractions out. God will give us the strength to say no to the enemy and to say yes to Jesus. God is not a liar. God is not a liar. Whatever God has spoken into your heart, whatever God has said to your heart years ago or weeks ago, best believe we could bank on it. But we got to say yes. We got to get out of that spirit of saying no. We got to get out of that spirit of refusing and say, God, I'm tired of saying no. I'm tired of refusing, but I'm going to start saying yes to the call of God upon my life. As everybody stands up. God has given us a weapon, Victory Outreach Albuquerque. God has given us a weapon to defeat the enemy. We don't have to live in a life of fear anymore. We don't have to live that kind of life anymore. All we got to do, imagine if everybody in this room pulled out their sword and started swinging. I don't want to live my life full of regrets. I don't want to live my life wondering what if. What if I would have got involved? What if I would have stuck it out in the Victory Homes? What if? I don't want to wonder what if the rest of my life. When I get to heaven, I want to know that I gave it my all. That I swung and swung and swung. See, the same God that answered a few of the promises that He gave me is the same God that can answer your promise. But we can't be afraid anymore. We just got to say yes, even if you say, man, this position is too big for me. You'll grow in it. Come on, somebody. God will anoint you. God doesn't make things God doesn't do anything on accident. God does everything on purpose for a purpose. If God is raising you up, it's not your pastors or your leaders, because God raised you up. Not anybody else, not man, but God raised you up. So every opportunity that we get, we got to cherish it. We got to value it. We got to defend it. And we say, God, if that's what you gave me, I'm going to defend it to the death of me. God, if that's what you want me to do, I'm going to do it wholeheartedly. I'm going to give it everything I got. As everybody just raises their hand, let's just worship God. Somebody's promise in this place. God is going to do something special in these next coming weeks. God is going to blow our minds. But we just got to say yes to the call of God. We can't serve God holding on to our past. We can't serve God holding on to our past. We got to let it go and say, God, I'm stepping out in faith. And I give it all to you.
Welcome you up to these altars.
With hope.